Welcome back to The Nightside. Great to have you with us on this Friday evening. This is a wild story that I think would be getting way more play if it wasn't for all that nasty COVID stuff going on. The Ontario government claims this kickback scheme saw $30 million stolen before an alleged $11.6 million COVID-19 fraud. Robert Benzie writes about this for the Toronto Star. He's the Queen's Park Bureau Chief. And court documents say the Ontario bureaucrat fired after an alleged fraud involving $11.6 million in COVID funds was the kingpin in an elaborate kickback scheme that stole at least $30 million more from the government. This is a wild story. Robert, welcome to the show. Thanks a lot for doing this. Can you fill us in on where things are at right now?
Well, Barb, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago when it was just an alleged $11 million fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And it has gotten much, much more interesting from my point of view, because Sanjay Madan, who was a computer specialist at the Ontario government, he was fired last November with cause from his $176,000 a year job as an IT manager in the government. And the government alleges that he was that he tampered with the program, the Support for Families program that gave COVID relief, and managed to siphon about $11 million into phony bank accounts that he had created. Now, obviously, this hasn't been proven in court yet, and he hasn't been criminally charged, but he is facing a civil action filed by the Ontario government against him. So the crazy thing is that in the course of reporting this, we and the government's been investigating it, Sanjay Madan was on the stand in earlier this month in testimony that was only released earlier this week. And he said that he was an architect of a kickback scheme that was involved with computer contracts. So what happened was he was allegedly getting a procurement of contracts and then getting kickbacks from the companies that got the procurement. This hasn't been proven in court either, but the government alleges that this scheme, which went back to 2011, skimmed millions and millions of dollars, $30 million, the government claims, from these computer contracts.
It's so shocking in many ways, one of which is that someone could even do that. Like, why is the system set up in a way that that could even happen? But there is some of his testimony in your story, and you can tell me if he is referring to the $11.6 million or the $30 million, but reading through it, it's astounding that he seems to almost justify it by saying he works really hard and there's this sort of loophole and a lot of people are applying for money and he just sort of sees a way that you could funnel money out of that. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really surprised me, Barb, is that he on the stand said that when they were bidding on these contracts, this is before the COVID-19 debacle, when they were bidding on these contracts dating back to 2011, he said, "We always maintained we stayed within the range. We never overbilled." He actually said that. A contract, you're doing a request for a proposal, a contract would be, say, $100,000. His companies would bid under $100,000.
Wow.
And I guess they would get the contract. And allegedly, he would get a kickback. Now, he has amassed wealth of $28 million. That's been frozen, although they were in court today here in Toronto, virtually on Zoom. And he now has access to a small amount of money, $2,500 a month for living expenses. And he has the money freed up for his legal expenses, which are huge. Because this is a very complicated case, Barb, and it involves, $28 million in assets, including $12 million in Indian banks, real estate in India, real estate here in Toronto, including six condos and a seven-bedroom house in,
wow,
in North York, and then an $8 million apartment building in Waterloo. So it's a complicated case, and the Crown's involved have their work cut out for them, and the defense attorneys have their work cut out for them.
One of the questions around this case is whether or not his wife and sons were involved in this, and they seem to be claiming that, in fact, they were betrayed by him and they had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they have done sworn affidavits saying that the three of them, this is Shalini Madan, who was herself a computer bureaucrat at Queen's Park as well. She was fired. And then their sons, Chinmaya and Ujjwal, who were both junior staffers at Queen's Park, but resigned last summer from their computer jobs. The three of them say they knew nothing of this until they noticed unusual bank activity. And all of a sudden they had all of these bank accounts in their names. And so they have done these affidavits saying that they feel betrayed. Mr. Madan himself is apparently being treated for an undisclosed mental health issue. And it's not clear. I mean, I've seen some of the internal emails surrounding the case, and it seems to be that that's maybe one of the lines of defense that he will use, is that he has these health issues and this is why this happened. I don't know. It may be difficult for a court to buy that, but that seems to be his what he's saying. I don't know, though, Barbara, how, I mean, the one of the things that a lot of people have said to me is how could his wife not notice all of the wealth and all this other stuff? So what the sons claim in their affidavit is that he was that their father was helping them buy condos by extending his line of credit. So it's not clear. I mean, if they knew about the apartment building, for example, in Waterloo, that's not clear that they knew about that. Sure. They certainly knew about the condominiums in Toronto, though.
Yeah, I mean, people can be naive about money to a certain point, and I'm sure that some way it would be, they would be able to prove if they were involved. Who knows? Who knows what that situation is like? But in terms of all of this money since 2011, that seems like a pretty sophisticated setup, even though he never exceeded the amounts. It's like people learn to or begin to justify, and that this money is coming to them. It's almost like this is part of their salary.
Yeah, and it's a strange kind of situation where you have people who are on staff at Queen's Park as bureaucrats, not political staffers, and yet they are allowed to have side gigs as computer consultants, or they have their own companies on the side doing contracts, and then these companies are getting hired by the government. It's a very unusual arrangement that you wouldn't see in a lot of other places. I don't know if it's allowed or if it's just something that had been allowed to happen, if you know what I mean. But I think that it's something that will be looked at. I know that the Crown Attorney today in court said that they are investigating further, and they are looking at. So it could be, there could be other things and other allegations that have surfaced against Mr. Madan. And in his testimony in January, he said that there were five other people involved in this scheme, and that's his wife and his sons were not involved in the kickback scheme and knew nothing of that either. So it's a lot more complicated, I think, than we realize. But to your point, I don't know how this was allowed to happen either. Every year, the Auditor General does a report about waste and scandal at Queen's Park, and this has never surfaced in any of those reports. Every year, the government looks at its own accounts, public accounts, and so on. This wasn't detected, and this goes back through Dalton McGuinty, Kathleen Wynne, and Doug Ford. So this is not just something that happened, a week ago.
Wow, it is a really fascinating story. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Robert Benzie, thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Barb.
Great to have you. Robert Benzie, Queen's Park Bureau Chief. You can check out the story in The Star, and you are listening to The Nightside.